Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning.
Barry, Rick, it's good to see you both back in the studio. It's been a while. We're nearing the middle of the year. I must say I feel pretty tired going into the middle of the year. And I'm surrounded by so many South Africans, of course, as we go into the polls next week. I think by the time people get to listen to this, South Africa will have cast their ballots and voted in the national elections. You guys look quite energized, I'm not going to lie. You've probably been away or something that's G'd up your spirits. But there's an energy about you. You've walked into studio this morning and you're G'd up about something. What's bringing that to the fore?
Hi, Sean. There's a lot going on for us. We've been pretty busy ourselves. But Barry and I were chatting the other day, actually with a couple of our colleagues as well. And earlier this year in March, we attended the gathering. It's the Daily Mavericks, the gathering. Mm. And we've actually tried to make a point of trying to go to this every year. And for anybody that hasn't been, I can really recommend it. It's an amazing experience, and you get to witness and see some amazing people who are very involved in South Africa. And one of the topics that came out of there we discussed, and it was about getting stuck in and getting involved in the country we love. And we were chatting about it, and at the same time, the Chasing the Sun was on. It was on a few consecutive Sundays in the evening, and we were sort of chatting about that. And the final episode was on, and it ended with Russie talking about, you know, getting, you know, making a difference in the country, and you know, to come back as players. He was talking to his players after winning, and he spoke about, you know, just standing up and standing tall, and as they did as a World Cup winning team. And I kind of found it quite inspiring. We were chatting about it, and we're sort of sitting here today because we were thinking, you know, yes, there's a lot going on. We've got elections about it, you know, on our doorstep, but it's more about what are we doing, what can we do as South Africans living in this country, and what can we do to make a difference and to play our part, I guess.
I'm not going to lie, there's something about if the Rugby World Cup were to be in the same year as an election year, or just months before the election, would that inspiration sort of carry over, I mean, more South Africans doing more things? And it sounds like the gathering was one of those types of things. If you look back and you think nostalgically, you're still feeling that sense of active citizenship potentially going into the rest of the year and trying to inspire others to do the same. Where should we start? What are we looking at? I mean, you guys work in financial services and lifestyle, and where do we go from here?
So I read a book years ago called The Tipping Point. It's Malcolm Gladwell. I think it might have been the book that he kind of broke through on. And early on in the book, there was a story in it where he told the story of Kitty Genovese. And this is in New York City, in Queens, 1964. I think New York was a much harder place than it is today. And this lady was walking down the road in broad daylight. She was attacked three times over a 30-minute period. And at the end of it, she died. So it went into the press. Maybe the TV, I don't know if there would have been TV, but it would have been TV. It would have reported on it. New Yorkers like us would be, oh, that's terrible, phew, in broad daylight. But when the police investigated it, they found that 38 people had seen the attack.
Wow.
And nobody phoned the police. Nobody. Now that traumatized New York and New Yorkers, and they just went, what is going on? What is this dynamic? And academics started jumping onto it then to actually, like, what is actually going on here? And they started staging some fake emergencies, mm-hmm, in stairwells in universities. And what they found is if the person thought that they were the only person around, they would probably 78% of the time react.
So if a witness were to see something happen and they're the only witness,
even hear it, they would react. They would know that they're the only person that can help this person, so they would 78% of the time react to it. If they thought that there was three or four other people in the stairwell that could have heard it, it drops right down to like 30%.
Wow.
People just back off completely. And I think as South Africans, now that people have voted, by the time you listen to this, you know, it's a, you can see lots of my friends kind of beating their chest going, well, I voted. And the people in London in the last week or so are very proud of themselves that they've gone out and voted. And that's a big act. And it's in a very important act. But then what do we do? You know, do we go and sit back on our couches or in our restaurants or at Braai's and just start to basically be observers again and moan about it and judge the politicians that are in process? And what came up at the Daily Maverick was quite powerful. At one point, the panelists, a mixture of kind of academics and politicians, and they turned to the crowd and they went, how many of you have been to your ward committee, the public participation committees that are available by statute in our constitution? And maybe 20 hands out of, I don't know how many people, there was probably 1,000 people there, 20 hands went up. And then they said, how many of you who actually knew, 20 hands went up with, did you know about it? Mm. And then they said, how many of you actually gone to the meetings? And all the hands went down.
Wow.
And the only hands that were left up were the politicians sitting on the stage.
Right.
Now, here, what they were pushing the crowd, and this is obviously as active a crowd as you should have at the Daily Maverick gathering. Mm. And they're like pushing the people to say, listen, you have to take part in these statutory bodies. We have to have public participation, because what's happening now is we're just leaving policy. We voted for them now. Now we just leave them for 5 years. That's not how it works. That's not a democracy. And there's one guy, one of the professors that was on the committee, turned around and he said, you know, there, he doesn't know of one politician that's afraid of any of these committees.
Wow.
Across the whole country.
That's
there isn't
something.
One, mm. You know. And what he said is, what you really want to get it to when you know when you've arrived is when the politician thinks, if I don't listen to these people here in this forum, I'm not going to get back into power. And that's the goal.
And I mean, even driving in today to come and have this conversation with you, I found myself looking at people as they were driving in their cars, and I feel like we're all just going through the motions to a certain extent. And we don't realize how much power we ourselves have. And we feel like somebody needs to give us some form of power, right? And we forget then in that context maybe that we have voted people into power, but we do need to hold them accountable to the things that we've put on their table, right? And I'm sure you can see similarities then when it comes to financials and making purchases or making investments along the way.
Yeah, Sean, it's funny. One of the things that came up at the Daily Maverick as well was about how we as citizens feel we owed things. We owed services. We owed education. We owed these things. So we sort of we vote and then we hope to receive these things. And it's not just about that. It's about how do you make these things happen? And like you say, driving in today and people are just carrying on with their lives. You would have driven past, you know, rubbish on the side of the road or a sign that's been knocked over, or you know, stuff that needs to get done, potholes, all of those sorts of things. And Barry's got a lovely story of somebody shared a story with him about up in St. Francis Bay about a person who decided to be an active citizen. Barry, maybe you want to share that one with us.
Yeah. So apparently there was all the students were there in over Christmas, and one of them was drunk and they knocked over one of those street signs that says what's the name of the road?
Yes.
You know, where the rectangles at the top of it, and it's been knocked down now. Obviously, for 5 months later. So people have phoned in to the municipality to get it fixed and whatever, but nothing's happened. So one person put it on a kind of a community group to say, like, I'm really frustrated. What can we do to get this done? And the next day, they could see from their house, they could actually see somebody coming along and putting in a pole and putting the sign back up. And so she went over to this guy, his name is Trevor, and they go, Trevor, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I saw your message, and I know I used to work for the Cape Town municipality. I know that they've got poles, but I know that this municipality does not have poles. And by the time they actually go and buy them and get it all in, it's going to be another few years. So I have the ability. I've got the tools to do this. I'm just going to fix the pole. And she goes, well, what do you want for this? And he goes, I don't want anything. Just pay it forward. So the reality is we need more Trevors.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And the other thing around participation in those committees that we talked about just a bit earlier is, you know, in financial services, there are there are some people that go out and buy 10 shares or one share in a company, which gives them admission to the AGM.
Right.
People are going into those things, tiny, tiny shareholders. And when the CEOs are paying themselves 100 million rand in bonuses and whatever else, that person sitting at the back of the room with their hand up, they have to listen to them. The press now are like listening to somebody who's been a little bit antagonistic towards this, and they're saying, well, justify this. Why are you being paid that much money? What's going on here? And in a way, that's how we need people to start questioning and to participate in this, and we will end up with a better structure and better cities and better municipalities.
That's very true. And as you say that, I can feel myself going, yes, that's exactly what we need. I'm sure somebody else will do it. I don't have to do it myself, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly the thing that we want to get away from. We want every individual to do something that fits. And maybe we need to find the thing that fits into their, shall I say, wheelhouse the best, that they feel that they can either stand up and voice an opinion on something that they feel very strongly for, which they know is going to, many others are going to benefit, or that they can lend a hand towards something that they know very well they can help fix, not just by voicing, but by actually getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, so we have a lot of clients that are actively involved in certain things, and I find it hugely inspiring chatting to them and hearing what they're getting up to. But there's a vast majority of people out there that really do want to get involved and do something, but they're not entirely sure how to go about that. And I mean, just going back to the municipality and kind of doing the municipality's work, we're not suggesting that you don't hold the municipality accountable and just doing their work. That isn't what we're suggesting. But we so definitely hold those that are accountable, hold them accountable. But at the same time, don't just sit back and expect things to happen. So get stuck in. And from our experience, you know, one of the sort of five pillars of a happy retirement, one of those is you know, being involved in charity in some way and giving back, but it needs to be done in a meaningful way, meaningful to you as the person. And I think it's where your skills will count and the things you feel passionate about. You know, it needs to be something that's important to you.
It's very interesting that you say that, because sometimes, having been involved in various charitable organizations or charitable events over the years, we're looking for tinned foods or we're looking for blankets, and those seem like very low on the rung, easy to execute. But to that same extent, if you're not feeling passionate about that, you're passionate enough to get involved, then maybe you don't. You need to find the right thing, as you're saying, that can execute your skills to make a difference, that then you as an individual who's passionate about it and can see a purpose and a need for it can continue to do the things, right? It can be sustained in some way.
Yeah. So the like one of the worst things when you are involved in charities is somebody comes up and says, I want to help. You go, I don't know what you're going to do here. Mm-hmm. So that's the wrong way of, you know, rocking up on the doorstep of a charity saying, I want to help, is nice.
Thank you.
But it's kind of, shoo, we're not quite sure what you could do here. Probably the best way of going about it is, as Rick is pointing out here, is you've got a skill. Everyone that's listening to this is skillful. in some way, or they've got a passion that they're interested in. That could be education, it could be sport, it could be health, it could be whatever. Arts would be another. And what you have to do is you first of all decide on that, distill that down, find what organizations around you are around you, then go to them and just have a cup of tea with them and just kind of go, what problems are you facing? What challenges you? What's going on here? And through those conversations, you'll start to pick up the issues that these people are actually facing themselves. Okay, so then you can jump in and go, I can help you with that. Or if I can't, I've actually got a friend on the road and he can do that with us. We don't realize it. We're all quite skilled. People are now quite wise because they're older. People are connected. They've got lots of connections. And the other thing is we do have access to money, although that's not really what it should be about. But, you know, at some point, money does make things move a little bit quicker and better. But it's not, you know what I mean? That's not really what this podcast is about. It's about more getting involved and using your skill set in doing that.
Yeah. And like you say, if you're asking poignant questions and you can figure out what the actual need is, because maybe there's two different ways of phrasing it, that need, right? You rock up at somebody's doorstep and you go, what do you need? And they go, well, I need blankets because I don't know what else you can offer me. I don't know what skills you have. I don't know what's in your head. I don't know what your passions are. So you just go with the easiest, the low level type of thing. But once you start to engage and have a real conversation about what the need is, what's the problem, how can I help you solve that? And you get more involved, shall we say, and maybe even on a personal level to the extent of mentoring the process from start to finish or to a particular point anyway.
Yeah, so mentoring is the other, because there are lots of individual opportunities. Now you will spot, hopefully over time, you'll spot young, talented people. But as usual, when you're in your young early 20s, you're a little bit rudderless. And often people are, once they leave the academic institutions and they've done well in those, they still need a little bit of guidance. They can make some terrible errors in that first kind of 5 years. So for them to have a mentor who isn't actually in the business, you would hope that the business would be looking to do this. But if they didn't have that, then it'd be awesome for these people to have somebody that they could lean on from time to time. I've done a little bit of it myself, and there was a guy, he came and worked at Veritas. He was just a great energy about him, real positive, can-do kind of guy. And he went back to keep studying at CPUT, and he kind of, you know, that was kind of off he went. And then we heard, no, he got a sales job and he got a car and he was living out in Worcester, and it all seemed to be going well. But then I have no touch with him, and then I bump into him or hear from him, and he's lost the job. And he's lost the job because he didn't either have the maturity or the nous to know that when you're given a company car, you can't overdo this thing and right. Now go drive back to, because he was from Hermanus. So he's driving from Worcester to Hermanus even during the week and whatever else.
Okay.
So you just kind of go, that's not, and how you treat a cell phone or how you treat a laptop, these are all things that you need. Somebody actually needs to take you through this. So over time, we've gone back and helped him to reskill himself. He wanted to get into computers, like cloud computing or cloud and networking and whatever else. So we through the JDI Foundation, where I save money to give, I then ask the JDI Foundation, okay, please pay Microsoft for this course. And then he comes back to me and says, no, I passed. And I say, okay, do the next one. And he passes that. Then he gets himself a job. But now, and this is what happens when you're in your early 20s and you've got no family support, he's now got a job in Cape Town, and he's got himself accommodation. He's got a bed, but he's got no bedding. Mm. He's not, you know, it's so you take him to Mr. Price home and you give him some stuff, and he you know, you set him up, and then you say, I'll see you in 3 or 4 months. And then what I've done is I've got a friend of mine who's actually based in Ireland, and he was out here on holiday and we met him. He said, like, he places people in technology.
Okay.
So now when he is up for a review, view, or he's like, I don't know how to ask for this. I don't want to be too pushy. Should I be pushy now? Should I not be pushy? We can have literally like a 20-minute WhatsApp phone call with him, and off he goes. And then he phones us back in 4 months, say, can we chat about another issue now?
It's incredible to think that passing on those soft skills can make such a big difference to somebody else. If they don't have someone else in their close proximity that they can share ideas, concerns, fears, career aspirations with, and help them navigate those, they are, as you quite rightly said in the beginning there, rudderless, like where to from here. And a little bit of guidance can go a really long way in shaping somebody's life for the better. So, yeah.
That's yeah, Sean, I mean, one thing, just as Barry was talking there, I think we forget just how connected we are. And I don't think you even realize that.
And you're saying individually, our own networks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'll be sitting, you'll go and meet with somebody and they'll say, we really need such and such, or we need, you know, somebody that could do this for us. And you'll just think, well, I think I know somebody, you know. And I mean, I've been, I've had clients who have said to me, geez, there's this youngster who started at our business and he just needs some guidance with X, Y, and Z, you know. And it's literally a half an hour conversation and you helping him on his way and off he goes. So, I mean, you know, Barry's is a more longer term thing, but it comes back to that pay it forward, because what I can tell you is that these youngsters are just going to grow up to be great citizens, because, you know, we hope so, right?
Yes,
that,
you do.
That the knock-on effect will not be, it'll be like tenfold, you know? So there's two points there. It's just getting involved and don't forget how connected you are in your own networks, basically.
If it weren't for you, I would have no idea that First Thursday has progressed from being art galleries that are open late in the evening to the fact that the Western Cape government is now also involved in some way in First Thursdays. Would you explain that a little bit more to me, Barry? What's going on there?
Yeah, one of our colleagues, Bronwyn, was telling us about it. She said, from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock on the first Thursday of the month, on 142 Long Street, the MECs have opened up an office, and you can walk into that office and come with any kind of problem that you might be facing with government or the municipalities and whatever else. You can walk in and they will try and help you with the issue that you're actually facing. You know, you just hit these roadblocks and you just go, I don't know what to do now. That's what it's kind of one of those things where they sit down with the people and help you with your individual problem.
Mm. I'm starting to feel the energy levels, my own energy levels rise. I think you've inspired me and you've definitely transferred some of that energy. Is there anything else on your chest at the moment that you wanted to share so that we can also go into the rest of the year feeling like our tanks have been filled?
Yeah, so the last piece of getting involved. So then people will go off and do, you know, reading. As Rick was, you know, there's two organizations called The Link and Shine, where people volunteer to go into schools and hospitals to help kids to get going with reading and more comfortable with it. And people have wonderful experiences of doing those sorts of things. If there is a money piece to this, and it's kind of now you need a structure, like whose bank account am I going to use? So let's say the three of us decide, hey, we're going to, or four, there was a fourth person, and we had four of us, and we said, and I'm going to use a lot of money, we said, we're going to put 1,000 rand away a month. That's 4,000 rand a month, which is 48,000 rand a year. Yep. And I'm just telling you, from dealing in charity work, you can do quite a lot with 48,000 rand a year. And we, the JDI Foundation, is a structure that people, individuals, can use. And you just say, we're a group, you know, we're the podcast group. And then the accountant just keeps that there and you can pay out. So whether you want to pay Builder's Warehouse or the Hi-Fi Corporation or Incredible Connection for whatever, the JDI Foundation will pay that out.
I mean, maybe just to jump in there, Barry's been involved with it. I mean, you started the JDI Foundation many years ago. I was actually in London at the time, and I know groups were formed, money was put in, and you can be an active group or a kind of a passive group, as far as I understand. And basically, within JDI, there's a catalyst who's more involved with the different needs of different charities, and people will come to JDI and say, you know, we are looking for X or Y, and then that catalyst will almost source that funding with the permission of that group to allow that money to be paid out. So it's a wonderful way of being. It's financial, right? It's contributing financially, but it's a wonderful way of being as involved as you want to be, I guess, because you don't have to be actively involved. You can just be financially involved and a catalyst can do the rest for you. Or you can actually truly get stuck in. And we have got some wonderful stories of people that have got really involved. So it's been, one of the important things, and Barry can share that, is just what you get out of it yourself, you know?
Yeah. So one of the five attributes that you need to have a very successful retirement is charity or giving back, because the psychological effects of it. So it sounds like we're going to help other people. Yes, we are. But actually, the reality is you're going to get way more out of this than they are. The self-realization and the self-fulfillment of what you get out of it is actually sometimes just embarrassing, actually. But because it's not that much, you know, you've just connected people together, or you've used a little bit of skill or a little bit of wisdom here or there, and they're like, whew, they take off, and their lives take off, their organizations take off as a result of your intervention. So that's why we would encourage people to do it. It's the fifth. It's either one is creativity and the other is charity. And normally somebody's
missing.
The two that aren't followed. So
really?
The most balanced people will be missing one of the two of those.
Either of those two. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So there are so many South Africans that are so capable that are listening to this now that actually are not doing anything. And we're just hoping that somehow this kind of shifts them a little bit to realize, just go and focus and sift it down and choose your route. But please get involved.
Yep. As you said, by giving back, we're getting much more out of it than we think we are. It's so beautifully put. Thank you, Barry. Thanks, Rick. It's good to see you again. And I feel much more energized now. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth. Real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.